Many of you would be familiar from other topics in the conference and just the industry generally with the idea that energy storage has quite a bit of thinking about the prospects for future growth. This graph here is from October of last year, and it's issued by the EIA. There are similar tables provided by WoodMac and Bloomberg New Energy Finance. And this basically just gives you a sense of the build trajectory over the last several years. The gray are announced projects. These are fairly real projects that have been announced with either construction announced or actually already underway, interconnection agreements and that kind of thing. So I would see this as a pretty high confidence projection about what's actually going to be constructed. And you can see that we're sitting at about 1,000 megawatts installed right now. And again, this is utility scale battery storage. So this is excluding residential or commercial applications. But we're at about 1,000 megawatts right now. And by the end of 2021, so next year, we'd be over 3,000 megawatts. So quite a bit of growth projected. The backdrop for this kind of growth has a few drivers for it. One of them is falling costs. I think everybody in here is familiar with wind development and solar development, and there's been a very precipitous decline in the cost for each of those technologies that occurred. And what we're seeing in storage, I'll go through in a little more detail the next few slides, is something very similar. Batteries in particular have been the beneficiary of kind of a free rider status in the electric vehicle R&D market. And so there's been an enormous amount of price reduction that's come out of that. Not only falling CapEx, but increasing efficiencies as well, round trip energy storage. So that's been a big part of it. There's also been quite a bit of introduction of friendly policy measures. FERC Order 841, which I'll talk about a little bit later, was been really instrumental in opening the market and getting it oriented to have storage involved in a number of different ways. There have been several states that have been very active, and not only in terms of incentives and that kind of thing, but market rules, which we're seeing a lot of change here in ERCOT and other markets that are really making it easier to deploy these systems out into the market. And then the third leg of this is just that as the power business itself is changing, it's creating more opportunities for energy storage to find a way to fit in. You've got increasing renewable penetration. ERCOT is a place where you can see this phenomenon on a daily or a seasonal basis in particular, but really it's happening obviously all over the country and the world. You've also got, as we were just looking at with the wind repowering, but even more so in the fossil world, aging infrastructure, and in particular, a lot of dispatchable power plants coming offline. And so when you've got fewer plants coming, when you've got fewer plants available that you can switch on and off, and you've got more plants out there that come and go according to the wind or the sun, there's a real dynamic space there that's an opportunity that storage is taking advantage of. So that's kind of a broad look at where the growth projections are. Taking it down a step to look at the state-by-state level, you can see that California has really been head and shoulders the leader among states in getting storage out there. There's been a fair amount built to date, but when you look at the announced projects, again, blue here would be constructed, and gray is fairly high confidence projects announced. You can see that California is really set to be far and away the leader and is seeing the most activity. The reasons for that is that California has a very renewables-friendly regulatory regime and power market in general. And so there's a lot of natural deployments for storage to take there. There's also some market features. There's high demand charges that C&I customers are looking to get out from under, and storage has become a way to do that. We've also seen, with the Aliso Canyon gas leak, questions about reliability and availability of sufficient generation in California that spurred the state to strongly support deployment of storage. And a lot of storage has been built and will be built out of the reaction to that. We're also seeing, for the first time, energy storage starting to sneak into the peaker gas plant business as a way to serve, you know, incremental load coming on during peak periods. And then, in addition, particularly with solar and storage co-location deployments, storage is a way to address the duck curve, California's duck curve, where solar production is coming off while demand remains high late in the day. Outside of California, you've seen a few states really take the lead. New York and Massachusetts are examples of states with a lot projected to come on, where they're pursuing a lot of state incentives and purchase mandates. And then in states like Hawaii, Arizona, and Florida, you've seen a lot of co-located projects, solar and storage in particular, these transactions happening in the market.